One of the things I would like to talk about, that just getting into it, is the news media is even starting to use terms like the things that are going on in the world is apocalyptic, which means last things. The things that are going on in the world is taking on biblical proportions, or this is just like the 10 plagues of Egypt. And they start enumerating. I don't think a lot of people don't stay up with this stuff, but there are earthquakes going on a lot of different places, which it says in the Bible this will happen. And it also says that there's plagues going on. I mean, the flu is out there, and I don't know how many people have passed away in America from it, but thousands already. And then we got the new coronavirus. There's another one going on in Africa that they haven't started talking about, but people are dying from it. And then we've got this locust plague. We had the fires in Australia. We've got this locust plague, and you know, I'm going, okay, there's a swarm of locusts. Now it is to the place, and it's more than, it turns out, more than one swarm. It started over in Pakistan, and it's been moving eastward, and these swarms are so big, some of them are bigger than cities. And one person said that they saw it just move in, settle down, and in 30 seconds they ate everything on the farm. And that what they have done is a swarm that large can eat everything that the people of Kenya would eat in 1 year. They can do it in a matter of minutes. And it's just like everything has lined up perfectly for this locust swarm to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And they said, if something doesn't change, there's a possibility that it will be 600 times bigger than what it is right now. And they're saying something has got to be done. Of course, it's always something's got to be done. Something's got to be done. I don't know. And is this, people are asking me, do you think this is it? And I said, well, I can tell you this. It says this is the kind of stuff that would happen, but also that it would increase and then fall back down. And then it'll come back up and it'll fall back down and come back up. And then finally, the Lord will return. But he said, this is all the things, and everything is the signs it's talking about. So part of this today is the song was, you don't want to cross Jordan alone. It's being prepared. It's also learning how to live our life right now. Like, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. When we hire somebody at the store, we say, if you learn nothing else, remember this, wash your hands. And I walk around probably the first 5 weeks they worked there and look at them and said, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. And I mean, they could just be finishing washing their hands. And it's trying to get it into their heads. You've got to wash your hands constantly. And so we need not to be compulsive about this, but we also need to be aware and teach our kids to wash their hands and cough into their elbows. And be careful out there, folks, because these things are real. We don't want them happening or spreading around, so we want to kind of work with this situation. He leads us into all truth. And that was something that he wanted me to share with the kids, so I did it. Now, Luke chapter 8, which we read before, and these same verses I'll just read again. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, for anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. So take care how you listen, for everyone who has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. The previous, last week we covered quite a chunk of verses, even going into different chapters and jumping into Matthew, which we'll do a little bit again today. But the context of this particular section that Jesus was saying here is right before this, it was talking about the seed going out and sowing, the sower sowing the seed, and as he sowed, some of it fell into onto the rocks or the path or the hard places. Some fell into thorns and thistles. Some fell into rocky soil, and some fell into good soil. And it goes on to say, as we know, that the seed is the word of God. The soil are the people. Some people, no matter what, they're not going to listen. They're not going to take it in because they're just hard-hearted. They're hard-headed, if you want to put it that way. Others will be among rocky soil. They have some soil. They spring up, but they have no depth within themselves. They don't stay with it. It's like, yeah, I'll go do that. Oh, look. And off they go on another little jaunt over there. They don't allow the Word of God to take root. The second is, you know, it's sown where there's weeds, thistles, and things that can crowd it out. And there's a lot of people who have a good start, and they believe the Word of God, and they stay with it, but then they eventually start getting sidetracked with the things of this world because the world is always enticing. Now, this is not something new. It's not something new to churches or something here. Even Paul said there was a guy named Demas, and he says, Demas has left us because he loved this present world. And it just means the guy got involved in things that was going on in life, and he went off and started living a life without actually attending or taking care of the things of God. And the last one is the seed was sown and there was an increase. And most people say, okay, and we focus on the seed, but we also need to be aware that what is tacked on to the end of that is this push from him. The sower sowed that seed. The sower went out and he was sowing. Even though there are hard places, thistly places, rocky places, he still sowed the seed. And while some of it will not amount to much, that which is in good soil, there will be a crop, there will be an increase, and God is the one who always causes us to have the increase. So we need to always be aware and keep sowing and sowing and not get discouraged. And don't let this particular verse discourage us. Actually, it should encourage us. As we go out and we share Christianity, there will be an increase. There will be increase. So we've got to keep that in mind. So we need to keep sowing all the time. And then it goes right from, there will be an increase. This guy did have a crop. No matter what happened over here, there was a crop. There was an increase. 30, 40, 100 fold is the way it's some of the places that say. It just had a bumper crop. Part of the people had just bumper crops. He said, there will be people, and you could be those who have the bumper crop, but you've got to sow it. And then he goes right into the whole, no one has a light and shoves it under a bed or puts a container over it. But he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. That lampstand is not necessarily for the person who has the light. He's got it. He knows where it's at. And he can use it when he needs it. The teaching is you want to increase. You want to have the blessing of God and have a better life. You go out and you put your lampstand so as people come in, they can see the light. They can enjoy it. They can have fellowship with you. They can walk into your house without falling over stuff. When I first started off in Christianity, though, I had somebody come to me and said, basically, shut your mouth. I don't want to hear from you talking about your Christianity. Christianity and all religion is a very private thing, and you should never, ever talk to any person. If they want to know, they will ask you, but do not bring it up to anyone. That's not the way it works. Yes, there's people out there that's going to be offended. It's going to fall in rocky places. But that doesn't stop me from going out to share the gospel, because who's more important, the person that was grumping at me because I was witnessing, or God who said, go out and sow the seed? There are people who are going to gain by it, prosper by it, and enjoy the fact that they have come in and seen the light. And the person that was doing that to me was not living in the light. I hope they have changed. But they will also now, it's like, oh, we don't want to offend everybody. We don't want to offend anybody. Nobody should be offended. And it's straight up, you Christians, especially the evangelical Christians. It's okay, I never heard them say the liberal Christians. So I said, you Christians, you evangelicals are offensive to people. Be quiet. Their logic breaks down because what they're saying to me is offensive. I'm an American. I live in a country where we have the right of free speech. I can share. I don't have the right to be rude. I don't have the right to be hateful. Christianity precludes that from us anyway. You go out, you be nice, you be friendly, you share the gospel, you tell them about Jesus Christ because it's good news. You don't walk up to them and be hateful and say, I've got good news for you. You jerk, I'm going to set you straight. Nope, I've got good news. You got problems, God's there for you. Jesus Christ is there for you. Don't shrink back. Put that light right out there in plain view so that anybody walks into your establishment, your house, your place, your personal area of influence, they will see that there is something different about you. And the reason they don't like it is because darkness shrinks from the light. Darkness shrinks from the light. So shine out there. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Darkness shrinks from the light. I was reading about a famous atheist that passed away about 2 years ago. And he had fought against God. He did not convert. There's no public record where he did. But what he did request was different people who would come in. They said, is there anything I can do for you? And he said, read to me Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And they said, you're an atheist. He goes, I know I'm an atheist. But it is so nice now that here I am. And I know I'm passing away, but it is nice to think about and have that one glimmer of hope. There really is a place where the Lord is our shepherd and there are fields and there are fountains and there's rivers running and there is a God who actually cares. He said, I find it very comforting to hear Psalm 23 read at this time in my life. Fought against it for decades. Decades. Wrote books against Christianity. And there at the last, he was wanting to hear Christian words out of the Bible. I also in 17, verse 17, it goes on to say, for nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. That's one of the rankling things about Christianity. We just call it for what it is. We've all sinned. You failed. I know somebody says, oh no, I am perfect. And they really mean that. I am perfect. And no, everybody's failed. Oh no, they argue. And they try to wheedle out of everything. And that, tell the truth, that's rankling. It just honks them off to no end. And they can hide it from themselves, their failures. And, okay, I learned this while I was associating with somebody from Clay City. And one of the people was like the sheriff. And he said, you know, you'll learn that if you ever get arrested, deny, deny, deny. And you say, that, we've got you. No, it wasn't me. We've got pictures. That's still not me. Just deny, deny, deny. And it will go to court. He basically said, the people that he arrests will continually deny, deny, deny. And sometimes they get out of it because they're just consistently denying it. When they all know what actually happened, they deny it, deny it, deny it. I know somebody who sat on a jury one time, and they said, we all no, they did that, but they denied it and they couldn't get it beyond the shadow of a doubt. I said, but you know that they did it. Oh yeah, they proved that they did it, but the person denied it and therefore I voted to let him go free. What? What? You can hide it from yourself and you can hide it from others and deny, 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 but you'll never be able to hide it from God. Now, we all hear about God being a wonderful being, and He is. And we hear about His love for us, and we hear about it. It's unconditional. True. But part of God's love for us is to give us that free will and says, I like you. I love you. I love you. And I'm going to give you free will because I want you to love me in return because you choose to. I want you to use your free will to walk with me, to choose to call out with me. I was reading a book this morning and it said, most people, humans, just have a pin chan, just a picking the wrong things, instead of going with what, like the scripture says, they pick the wrong things and then they pay the price, even though people's going, no, 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 don't do that, don't do that. It's going to hurt you in the long run. And it's like people I know that do drugs. I don't care, I'd rather do this. And then whenever they're dying from it, they're saying, I need your help, pray for me. And I'm like, I can pray for you. And I do, and I try to teach them and lead them to the Lord. But still, this God, who is so loving and so kind, you can't hide your failures from Him. And if you deny it, deny it, deny it, and you say, I don't need the forgiveness of God, I don't need His Christ, I don't need His sacrifice, God will call you out for your failings and your sins, and He will judge you on a personal level. Oh no. Oh yeah. There is an exception to that reality. And the exception is if you're a Christian. Well, that ain't fair. Life's not fair. You see, if you reject Jesus Christ and you say, I can go it alone, He will call you out and say, you can't go it alone. You refused everything I did. You refused all my offers. You refused the people who came and shared with you about my son and what he accomplished. The exceptions that will not be called out on the judgment day are those who believe, trusted in Jesus Christ. For He called out our sins, Jesus did, and said, I will take their sins and I will die for their sins and I will pay the price on the cross for their sins. All they have to do is ask me, and I will give them that forgiveness. So there is an exemption to the being called out, but the exemption is you have to trust in Jesus Christ. You have to say, forgive me of my sin, and from this point on, I will trust you. There are verses that testify to this, the quick ones that come to mind. Though your sins are as scarlet, I will make them white as wool. As far as the east is from the west, so your sins will be cast away from God. Blessed is the person to whom God does not impute sin. He's saying there are people out there, though they're not perfect, I'm not going to judge them and hold them responsible. I'm going to forgive them because they have trusted in my Son, Jesus Christ. Christians, we should not be arrogant because we are forgiven and we won't be called out on the last day. On that time that we stand before Him, He's not going to say, you, Doyle Williams, come up here. I want to tell everybody what you have done, because everything has been dealt with on the cross with Jesus Christ. And He says, come up here. I want to tell everybody what you have done. You have trusted in my Son. You have believed that His sacrifice was good enough. You have walked in trust, and because you trusted, it's granted to you to be called a righteous person because your sins have been dealt with. Come over here and take thine ease. Sit down. We're going to have a big banquet later. So we never have the right to be jerks because we all started off in the same boat. We started in the same situation. We needed that forgiveness just like anybody else does. We need to come forward to people and be very humble about it and say, I understand, but you need the favor of God. You need His kindness, and you need to accept that and let Him deal with your problems and your woes now than waiting till that day of judgment, because then it's going to be too late. Too late. And then the next verse goes on to say this. So take care how you listen. That's for us and everybody else. Take care how you listen. For he who has, more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. The whole idea is, you think you've got it. These people who reject Christ, I've got it. This is mine. It's under control. It's going to be okay. Don't worry about me. You take care of yourself. I don't need Christ as a crutch. He says, be careful how you hear. Be careful how you listen. Really pay attention. Really pay attention, because if you miss this, what you think you have, which is a bright future, will be taken away from you. But others, if you've got Jesus Christ, more shall be given to you. More shall be given to you, not just here, but also in the future. You will get to the place where you will have that mansion over the hilltop. You will have a place to dwell. You will have the presence of God. You'll have the tree of life. You'll have the waters flowing of refreshment, of the waters of rivers of life. You'll have a place to stay in a beautiful town, city, in which to dwell that's made out of precious stones and golds and hems. Or gems, not hems, has precious gems. But life is not a breeze. So we have to take responsibilities. We have to step up and listen to what's actually being said. We've got to relate to what the examples are. And one of the examples, Jesus talks about this whole sowing in another place. And He says you will have an increase, 40, 60, 100-fold. And that is the parable of the talents. I wish that they had used something else than the word talent, because we think of playing the piano as a talent. But actually, it's a measure of weight. A talent is 75 pounds, give or take an ounce in there. 75 pounds. So He gave to these people in Matthew, He was talking of the same idea. I want you to take these talents. I want you to take 75 pounds of gold. I'm going away, and when I come back, I want to see how much you've increased it. To the others, He gave 10 talents, 750 pounds of gold. Increase it. Others, He gave 5 talents, and I can't do the math in my head, but He gave them big piles of gold. And the guy came back, and he said, "So, show me what you've accomplished." And they said, "You know what you gave me? I doubled it. I went from 10 to 20, and he said, "Great, give him more." The second one, "What have you done?" "I invested it. I, bought, trade, whatever he used it for." "Great." And he took the 75 pounds of gold. It could have been 75 pounds of silver, but he gave him 75 pounds of valuable metal and said, "Trade in this, use it, increase it." And he did. And he says, "I doubled." He says, "Great." Now he calls the other one up. Remember that story or that parable that Christ was using there? And he said, "What did you do?" And he says, "I was afraid of you. I was afraid you'd get mad. So I buried it, and here it is. I haven't lost a thing." And the guy said, if you're wanting to look this up, it's going to be in Matthew 25. The guy, the master comes back, and he said, "Fine." Now, we've got this idea Jesus is always sweet, kind of syrupy, and just fluffy. But the way it should be understood is this. The man says, the master says to that one who buried his 75 pounds of gold, is this. "Fine, you think I'm mean? You got it. Take away what he's got. Take that pile of money. Take that pile of gold and give it to that guy over there and take that worthless bum and throw him out." It wasn't a matter of being afraid of me. It was a matter of you being lazy. You didn't want to put yourself out. You didn't want to put an effort into what I asked you to do. So there we are. And he applies that to us by saying things like, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." If you've been blessed of God and you haven't used that blessing to increase His kingdom, to spread His word, then you will be in a bad situation when you stand in front of Jesus, because you didn't really believe what the Master said. And this isn't a story. A lot of people read this as all He wants us to do is go out and make money. No. It's not a matter of the money. He wants you to take what He has given you and increase it for the Master. He wants us to go out and increase the blessing that He has given it, share it and invest it in this world so that there is a return to Him and more people will become believers. He wants us to take those, that vast wealth that He can dump in our laps. And it's not just gold or silver. It is anything that He has given us. We're to use our lives so that other people will come to know Jesus Christ. all of these parables, all these this information that he's given is so, get ready, pay attention, it's coming down, don't be a lazy person, get out there, participate in life, try to increase what you've got, it's coming your way, you will be held responsible for it, don't hide what I give you and stick it under a container, don't be ashamed, shine it forth, don't hide it away, parade it in front of everybody so everybody will know what you've got. Don't hide. Don't be afraid of what's going on. Deal with your sins. Deal with me. Get it taken care of. And then increase. Increase. And increase. And here's the rough part of everything that he always says. Make an application. And it's going to be this. In the past year, how much has Glenwood increased for Christ? I'm not talking just people showing up. I'm talking what have we done as a congregation? Think about that. What have we done? If he calls us up right now and says, Glenwood, I want you to mention three things that you have done that has actually had an influence on the community in where you are living, participating, and meeting. Can you name three things? Think about that. And then the other one's going to be, even if this church hasn't, have we as individuals taken what he's given us and invested it and caused some kind of increase or benefit to others out there in this world and caused them to come or at least consider Jesus Christ? A lot of us use the teaching, and I believe it's, I know it's theologically correct, that when you're in the grace of God, you're always in the grace of God. But we cannot use the grace of God to say, woohoo, I'm just going to coast the rest of my life right in through them pearly gates. That's not what grace is about. He's saying, I was good to you and I want you to be just like me. Go out and be good to others. Share what I've given you so that others will be blessed. Think about that. Apply it. Question it. If you're not a Christian, think about becoming one. And if you are, think about it now and say, how have I used what I've got to increase the kingdom of God? Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you continue to have mercy upon us. Thank you that you have already forgiven our sins a long time ago. And now I ask that you would lead us just like a shepherd and teach us how to invest. Teach us how to increase, not just here, but abroad and everywhere that we go. Father, we would appreciate growth, not just on a spiritual level, but also numerically, but not just here, Father. I'd rather have someone get saved, even if you lead them off to a different congregation, and at least they'll get to heaven. So, Father, teach us to invest, so we can bring honor and glory to your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.